Blog Talk Radio.
So come on, call us at 903-780-2808 for the educational scholarship, scholarships for high school graduate girls, and to be honored and recognized, okay? Also, we do have openings for Debbie's Music Academy, and on June 18th through the 22nd, Debbie's Music Academy will be sponsoring a summer keyboard camp down at the Glass Center, in correlations to their summer camps, but it's a beginner's keyboard, and you can be a part of that. It's $30 for the whole week. Also, we are going to be offering recorders, and that together is $50 recorders. And recorders is like the little flauta, the little flute. And then we're also going to be offering beginning piano keyboard. So a lot going on. We're excited, so I want you to be a part of that. So call me at 903-780-2808 if you want more information about Young Girls of Purpose, Gospel Aerobics, the Girls Band in the Juneteenth Parade, Debbie's Music Academy Summer Piano Camp, June 18th through the 22nd, and the Educational Scholarship opportunity for our girls to be recognized, okay? A lot going on, but we're excited because God is just thinking about all of us, okay? So I want to go back to the Word of God that was in Ephesians 1 and 3. But just to let you know that blessed and worthy of praise be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, just as his love has chosen us before the foundation of the world, so that we may be holy and blameless and set apart from him, blameless in his love. So, friends, know that you are blessed by God from spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. It's not always that tangible, but to know that God has blessed you with spiritual blessings from the heavenlies and through Jesus Christ, oh, wow, that is a blessing within itself. And to know that you can be blameless before him in love, holy and blameless before him in love, and to know that God loves you, to know that you can have a relationship with him from spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Amen. Isn't that good news? I'm excited about that, because you can get as close to Jesus as you want. You can get as close to God as your hunger drives you. Amen. Listen, I love you with the love of the Lord. Call me at 903-780-2808. Call me now. Got a lot going on. Love you with Jesus' love. Be blessed and blessed and blessed. Amen, amen, and amen.
KGLD, 1330 AM Tyler, and K285 GY, 104.9 FM Tyler.
Good afternoon and welcome to Community First Network Radio, and you're listening to A View from the Top with your host, Dr. Shirley McKellar. Today's show is being brought to you by Saunders Boutique, located, you know where, out there in Overton, Texas. Go see Miss Sandra Jackson today. Before we get going, we want to offer our sympathy out to the Mellentree family and the Owens family. We lost one of our veterans, Mr. Melvin Owens, and that service will be on Saturday at 1 p.m. and as well as Miss Mellentree, Venice Mellentree, a top lady of distinction, also a Delta Sigma Theta sorority member. What a great loss of both of those. Her service will be this Saturday as well, 11 o'clock at, Pastor Orinthia Mason, St. James CME Church. That's right. Thank you, Mr. Butler. And then, on Friday night will be at 6 p.m., and that will be at Miles Chapel, right, I believe, where we will do our ceremony with the Deltas as well as the Top Ladies of Distinction. So our sympathy goes out to both of those families. Okay, we're ready. In style with a view. Thank you for that, Mr. Butler. I haven't heard that. Do I hear that frequently? Okay, well, I guess I really paid attention today. Thank you so much. Once again, we have Mr. Calloway is going to be out today. He's a little under the weather. So we have our other sidekick right here with us, Mr.
Darryl Davis.
Yes, Mr. Darryl Davis. We had an amazing.
Be in the house today.
Thank you. We had an amazing show with him on last week, and I told you, I promised that we're going to have part two. But before we get going with some of part two and some more parts, I tell you what, I can't keep up. Once again, there's so much going on in this country. It's a surprise every morning we wake up. But let's see, is that great team there, Ms. Butler? Ms. Rihanna, are you there?
Yes, hello, East Texas. Hello, everyone in studio, and I have First Sergeant with me.
All right. Hello, First Sergeant.
Hey, everybody, and all my law enforcement and military. Hey, we're on board.
Yes, we are. Thank you for that. And before we get going, remember, June the 21st through the 23rd is the Texas Democratic Convention. For those of you that are listening out there that may be attending that event, it's going to be massive this year. 2018, it's going to be at the Tarrant County Convention Center, and yours truly is running for vice chair of the Texas Democratic Party. So all of you delegates that are listening out there, I'm asking you for your vote because it's time for East Texas to get the recognition that we so richly deserve. All over Texas, they have had a vice chair in Houston, and they've had them in Dallas, and again in Houston, and again in Houston, and Central Texas, and Austin, Texas, and every place else except in East Texas. And East Texas' voice is as strong and powerful as any other voice throughout Texas. So it's time for us to be recognized in East Texas. So I'm asking you, delegates out there that are going to be in Fort Worth for that convention starting on the 21st, to not forget to vote McKellar, vote for East Texas, vote for yourself, because your voice is important as well. So we look forward to that, excited about it. Okay, so let's get started, Ms. Rihanna and First Sergeant. We're going to go back to Mr. Darryl Davis a little bit and continue his story. I mean, I've been reading his paperwork, his legal paperwork, and it is just amazing that this young man has gone through what he's gone through, simply because listening and reading what the detectives and everybody saw in regards to this case. I didn't really know exactly all about the case, but after reading his paperwork and looking at some of the things, and sometimes when we bring people to court and they come with evidence that things did not happen that way and they did not exist. This young lady accused Mr. Davis of taking a 40. Now, I don't know if you all know what a 40 is. I didn't know for a long time what a 40 ounce was, but I do now. And so this lady accused Mr. Davis of taking a 40 ounce, and you know that's a large, large, large bottle of beer, and striking her across her face 30 to 32 times, and she has no marks on her face. So with that being said, we're going to pick back up with this story and let him tell us a little bit more about it before we go into some of the other areas. Where do you want us to start with this? I'm just amazed, Mr. Davis, after reading and you're sharing your story on legal paper from the courts. This is not something you told me. This is something I read straight from the court system. And then they had witnesses saying that
There was no doctor's reports or anything like that. There was no marks or demarcation on this lady's face.
Well, what was
so
amazing about my situation is that the police and the detectives stepped up and did their jobs, but the prosecutor was so gung-ho on prosecuting me that they went back and indicted me several times using different manner and means for the charge. And that was because I didn't know law and didn't have any money at the time for legal representation. See, the legal representation that we have, either the court will appoint it to you, or you can go out and buy your defense. And once a person's in trouble, they don't know that until they get to that point.
Sure.
That you have had people actually commit crimes that had money to buy lawyers. Lawyers walked them out of the courtroom free. For instance, Bob Durst, who admitted to cutting up his friend after killing him and throwing him in Galveston Bay. They found him not guilty. And also with Robertson Angleton, because they was able to pay attorneys millions of dollars to walk them into court and to walk them out of court. Well, for a person that doesn't have the means to fight the system, it's just that you have to pretty much throw yourself at the mercy of the courts. And that's where your faith has to remain strong in the Lord,
mm-hmm.
because without him, I wouldn't have made it through to this point. And after 22 years, I'm still packing around my documents that I am innocent. If I wasn't, I would have dismissed that a long time ago.
Sure.
And it's only, again, by the grace of God that I was able to keep up with that stuff all this time. And I was a man that was about 5'10", 250 pounds, and you're talking about a full 40-ounce bottle of beer that I would say weighed between 3 and 5 pounds.
Okay.
And if you hit someone one time with it, it's going to do some damage, less long, up to 30 sometimes, and you don't even have a split lip or a bloody nose. But the police, they did their job. You know, I'm not upset with their testimony because they told the truth. The detective, they told the truth.
Yes, they did.
But the court-appointed lawyer and the prosecutor worked together, and it's in an environment that people that's layman of the law
mm-hmm.
have no knowledge of what's going on, don't have no control of the situation. And it's a lot of people that's in this situation today that can't fend for themselves, don't know how to fend for themselves.
So let me ask you this question. So with all of that being said, what is it that you can say to we as citizens out here in the community to do in regards to the criminal justice system?
Well, first of all, I strongly suggest that, you know, we say we want change, but we don't go about accepting change or go about trying to change. And in order to have change, you have to have a different mindset about what's going on actually. You have to get involved in these things. You can't wait until it's too late that it hits your household. It might skip over your household, but it's going to hit someone in your family. And we have been put at a pressure point where we have to work all the time, and we can't make those city council meetings. We can't make the commissioner court meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where people like you come in, Dr. McKellar, as our voice.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to get out the vote to try to get you elected in office so we will have someone to speak on our behalf when these things come about.
Yes, sir.
Because when they do come about, we don't know what to do.
Yes.
And many innocent men and women
mm-hmm.
sit in prison today.
That's right. That's right.
Because they didn't have the means or the knowledge in order to help themselves. And the court-appointed system, they have went as far now as to make you pay for your own lawyer. So you're paying to go to prison. You're paying not to get good representation. You know, it's like I'm going to take you in and plead you out. You have people doing 50, 60, 70-year sentences that make it only gotten 10.
You said something very, you used the word that just immediately catches my attention and caught my attention in that you said, and plea out. And I remember, and I talked about this a lot of times on this show, when we went to University of Texas at Arlington where they had those men and the one woman, Joyce Ann Brown, on that stage. And so what they said is no matter, no matter how these people try to make you guilty, never plea, bargain, and say, I'm guilty of a crime that you did not commit. They held steadfast to the fact that they were not guilty, and eventually the Innocence Project helped them out. So go ahead. I just wanted to throw that in there, is that never plea out if you know that you're innocent.
And I would agree with that. In my situation, I didn't plea out. I had a jury trial,
mm-hmm.
and I went to trial by jury. It lasted
right.
3 days. But some people be at the point where when you mention you're getting a life sentence, it puts fear in them.
Oh, of course.
And they say, well, we'll come to you with 30, or we'll come to you with 40.
Right.
Well, at that moment, that sounds way better than life.
Sure.
But in my situation, I knew that I hadn't done anything, so I stayed steadfast in what I believed in, because I knew that my faith at the time, it was real small, but I had a praying mama and a praying grandma.
That's all right.
And that encouraged me.
Mm-hmm.
And kept me with whatever the decision that the jury came back with. And I figured they was going to come back with a not guilty verdict, because it never happened. And for the first time in my life, I witnessed the police officers get up there and tell the truth.
Sure.
They didn't help the state. But I got sentenced to 37 years. I had to do half of it, which was 18 years, 6 months, 3 weeks, and 5 days. And like I said last week, I'm still living up under the umbrella of parole. And that's very dangerous, because a person can't build a life like that.
Sure.
Every time someone mentions something that I've done something to them, I always go back incarceration for 30 days, 60 days, until the State of Texas Board of Pardons and Parole find out that it never happened and set me free. But by that time, I'd be done lost jobs.
Yeah.
As I mentioned last week, I had a 3.8 GPA at Texas College.
Yeah.
And that has went down the drain. And to continue to start over and over, like the day I've been at work, I've been out there in the hot sun.
Hmm.
But you have to start over. You have to prove to people that you're willing to work and to help yourself, to not only better yourself, but also better your community as well. Because you can best believe people are watching and they're looking.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. Let me. You mentioned a couple of cases out there in Galveston and all of that, which it appears that those cases were guilty, right?
They admitted they was guilty.
But they walked. Let me share with everybody that's listening out there and about a case that I got a phone call on right here locally here in Tyler. A young man over in one of our high schools that should have been marching across the stage, had a knife and a small amount of marijuana outside in his car on the campus of the high school. And then this was an African-American fella. And then a Caucasian young fella brought a backpack inside of this school filled with knives, and they detected that he had all of these knives in his backpack inside of the school, not in his car, but inside of his school. And he's going free, but the young man with the knife and the small amount of marijuana that he had inside of his car, and I don't know how they found out, I guess dog sniffing, I'm not sure, I didn't get that part of it, or they didn't know that part of it when they called me. But the young man who should have walked across the stage and really should not have had what he had out in his car, even though it was in his car, he should not have had it on campus. We understand that. But he's in jail downtown in Smith County. And the other one is gone free, or is not in jail. I don't know about the free part. Eventually, maybe he'll get to court. I'm not sure, but I just know that they informed me that he didn't get sent to jail, and he had a backpack full of knives, not just one, but a backpack filled with knives inside of the school. Yes.
Well, I'm familiar with the situation as well,
okay.
And he also had knives in his car. as well, and they never charged him with anything. He never got expelled from school or anything.
Correct.
Well, the other, the black gentleman, he went to jail for a felony, knives on the campus.
Right.
And that will put a conviction on his record.
That's right.
If they convict him and with a court-appointed lawyer. Because he might go over there and plea bargain just for probation, just to get out of jail.
Right.
That's no place that a person wants to be. And if they come to you and they tell you that we'll give you probation to let you out today,
okay,
you accept it.
Mm-hmm.
But not knowing that that's just a little bit of rope to
wheel you back on in.
Later on down the line, because they have so many stipulations that you have to go by in order to stay free on probation.
Right. So if he did anything to violate that probation,
he could get the max sentence or whatever it is that
that charge is.
Carries.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Ms. Rihanna, First Sergeant, any comments? First Sergeant, especially for you, any comments? Not especially, but you're law enforcement, so we'll go to you and then we'll come to Ms. Rihanna.
Sir, I am truly proud that the law enforcement stood up and took pride in their job. But, you know, the law is clear. It was black and white. And I'm going to tell you, folks, if there was a 40 involved, that woman should be dead. Because, honestly, that's the most heaviest bottle out there in the market. And it's clear that this gentleman should not have been charged. He should not have had a day in court. And I am so embarrassed that he's done time. You know, I pray that it get overturned. I pray that you folks vote for Dr. Shirley McKellar, because we need a voice. This gentleman is only one of hundreds. Now,
yes,
this can happen to your son, your daughter, to include yourself. If we don't get the right people in office, it can happen to you just today. Going home, it can happen to you.
That's absolutely correct. It could happen to anyone. It could happen to any of us.
At any time.
At any time. And so that's why I was asking the question. And that question is, what should we as citizens be doing? And you mentioned that they may be working, they may not make it to city council, they may not make it to a county commissioner's court or school board or whatever. But what should we do? Ms. Rihanna, let's go to you and hear what you have to say.
Well, I want to point out to everyone that we do get to vote on prosecutors. You know,
yes,
unfair prosecutions are, I mean, it's a real problem. And we had a list that we gave right after the 2016 election, for example, the prosecutor who refused, until there was a lot of public pressure, to prosecute George Zimmerman for stalking and killing Trayvon Martin. Of course, that prosecutor didn't want to prosecute and then didn't aggressively prosecute or obviously effectively prosecute. So they voted her out. She's gone now. And there were a lot of cases under her belt that were either malicious prosecutions, selective prosecutions where comparable situations would arise and she wouldn't prosecute some, but she would go after others. So they recognized that they could vote her out, and they did. In Cook County, Chicago, that prosecutor, long list of issues why that prosecutor needed to go. They voted that prosecutor out. So it's just so important. Voting matters in this situation. It really does.
Yeah.
And we're not powerless. It's easy to, it's easy to feel beaten down. I think that a lot of people in this country just feel beaten down and helpless. And that's the worst place that we can be and be stuck in. So we've got to understand the power that we have. We've got to understand that the mentality that many Americans have been conditioned into a lot of times is this idea that if someone has a brush with the law and they say they didn't do it, they probably did something at some point. So, you know, this idea is pervasive.
Yeah.
And we've got to take control of how we treat one another, what we believe about one another, the benefit of the doubt we're willing to give, because, you know, we've gotten to a place where we lock people up and we throw away the key, and it's not my problem.
Yeah.
And these are human beings who are suffering. This is a democracy. This is the greatest democracy this world has ever known. And we incarcerate more of our people than any other country. And so, you know, we have power here, and we've got to seize that power and take charge. We're supposed to be governing ourselves. And, you know, for people like this beautiful man to spend 18 years of his life locked away, it's unconscionable. But we do have power here. So we've got to make ourselves educated, and we've got to vote.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great point, Ms. Rihanna. Those law enforcement people that we're talking about, the district attorney and all that, those people are voted into office. That's why our voices are so crucial, so important, that we get ourselves to the polls to vote. Go ahead.
Exactly. You know, we make time for lots of different things.
There you go.
But we need to make time to come to town hall meetings, find out what's going on in our neighborhoods, find out what's going on in the criminal justice system, find out what's going on in the school system. They have a young man over there in the county now I've been made aware of that he gave a lawyer over $5,000, and they still trying to give him 35 years in prison on a plea bargain. They say if he go to trial, he would get a life sentence. And he paid $5,000 for a lawyer. He's not going with a court-appointed lawyer. So you still have those kind of obstacles before you that you have to deal with. And that's another reason why they plea. Because if the man said, well, we can give you 35 years, mm-hmm. and we'll come up for parole in 4 or 5 years, compared to a life sentence where you may not know when you come up for parole.
That's why it's so crucial that we have watchdogs that's in that courtroom at all times watching and making sure that things are carried out. I know people work, you know, but everybody doesn't work at the same time.
And that's what we have to make time in,
we
Dr. McKellar.
Yes, sir.
We have to make time to where we can get involved, not only with ourselves and our family, but with other family members. You know, you have the word that I don't care, that don't pertain to me.
Yeah.
Well, this situation may not pertain to you, but sooner or later you're going to come in contact with a situation that deal with this same thing, whether it's a relative or a friend or whoever, because we never know at any minute, in any day.
Any day.
We never know. I was talking to a parent the other day that said that I believe their kids go to school on the south side.
Okay.
And they passed all their classes, but they said they failed the SAT test or something.
Okay.
Now they have to go back and retake the classes again. And that's something that may need to be dealt with as well, because if a kid go to school for, 6, 8, 9 months and pass all their class, they might have had a bad day on their SAT test,
mm-hmm.
and couldn't pass it. And I don't believe that that's a reason to hold them back from their class if they pass their class. And those are the kind of things that's stagnating us, too, as being Black America, that some obstacles that we might can't achieve at that moment,
mm-hmm.
It continues to set us back,
right.
And we can't get ahead.
That's Ms. Rihanna is our educator in here. But, you know, I'm so against teaching to a test because I'm for teaching and educating people and students and children on the math and the sciences. I mean, not educate me to take a test, you know. because you're right. They could have had a. It could have been anything on that particular day. Ms. Rihanna, you have. Well, we've jumped into another area, but if you want, if you have any comments in regards to, do they get another opportunity, a second chance to retake the test, Ms. Rihanna?
Well, the thing about it is, for the SAT and ACT and tests like that, you have to pay. The course materials, the classes, you have to pay. And we know, I mean, there is no question, it's not a debate, the inherent biases that are written into these tests. And they do, they are biased toward a Caucasian American experience, life experience. It's almost like it's encoded into the test questions, and learned people have studied this for years, and there's just no question about that. And you know, it's hard to not look at standardized testing as almost a purposeful mechanism to hold people down, because it doesn't tell you very much about the things that you really are needing to assess in a student.
Absolutely.
It doesn't really tell you much of anything. And it's a colossal waste of money. The state of Texas alone, the money that is spent on standardized testing, if that money was all put into education, teachers wouldn't be buying their own pencils and paper and snacks, you know. So it's just ridiculous. In fact, I'll post.
And we wouldn't rank
yes.
at 42 and 43 and 47 in the,
that's
in
exactly
the
right.
United States of America in Texas. And that's
that
where
is,
we rate.
That is so true.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And I wanted to quickly say this, too. Back to the prosecutions, and this does tie with things that are going on right now. The case of number 45's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, a new lawsuit was launched because the attorney for his client was behind the scenes, good friends with the attorney who was representing the interest of number 45. And, you know, they were behind the scenes making deals that gave one client the shaft. And that's the kind of thing that does go on. I just want everybody to pay attention to the case that's unfolding in the public view that was set up for, you know, one person's attorney to be taking their money and telling them, I'm representing your interest. But behind the scenes, they're good buddies with, you know, the opposing side's attorney, and they laugh in the background and you know, set different things up so that the outcome is better on one side. And attorneys, not all, but attorneys, even prosecutors, can play behind the scenes with both sides and kind of be the puppet, you know, the puppet master of what goes on, and you're paying them money to represent you. And they could be working against you. And that does happen. It happens a lot.
A lot.
So,
well, we have to,
you know, I
go
just...
Ahead.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah.
Excuse me, we have to remember one thing, that most of those attorneys was former prosecutors.
That's true.
Yes.
And they were, and they working with their
colleagues.
Their peers, you
yes.
know, because
exactly.
They training them up the way to go, how they came up.
That's right.
So it's still
yes.
one big circle that you placed in.
Exactly.
But the
yes.
thing is that,
yes.
that we have to get out to learn better things to do, to learn law, to learn the politics of things, so that
yes.
when we find ourselves in that situation, we'll know who to contact, and we won't be left alone, and our family members will know who to contact.
Exactly.
And if you
exactly.
and if you're afraid to contact someone, you're not afraid to vote.
There
so
you go.
Go out and vote and put the right people in the right places that you will have a voice, that when something happens, you can have someone to call, except for your friend or something, that just basically, just like us, we don't know
mm-hmm.
until we get to that situation.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Great point.
Right.
Great point. You know, let's even take a look at what's going on in the legal system in our country right now at the top. and see the differences on how certain people that look like Miss Rihanna are treated in comparison to those that look like me, you, and First Sergeant is just a vast difference. I mean, we have somebody. This was really interesting. Let's talk a little bit about a Giuliani, attorney Giuliani. He used to be what in New York?
He was the mayor. You know, it wasn't.
He was the mayor. Not only was he the mayor, what else was he?
He was
the attorney general.
Attorney general. He was attorney general
for the third district of New York.
There you go. Now listen how he talks about the law. And listen how nobody is above the law to include the president, right, of
That's
the United
right.
States. But now he's elevated this guy to be above the law. Did he not?
Yeah.
Did you get that from him?
That's what he's trying to do now.
That's what he's trying to do. And so they rewrite things as they go along the way.
Exactly.
In order to take care of the people that they're trying to take care of along the way. Whereas the man who has no money or the voices are not as strong as theirs. And let's face it, money is the power, right, in this country.
That's it. It moves things.
Yeah. The love of it is the root of all evil. We know that. But we know that if you have money, and then this guy, he vilifies women. And then he was talking about Stormy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You know the story that I say on her. She's Stormy Daniels, a.k.a., well, her real name is what, Stephanie Clifford, right?
Stephanie Clifford, yes.
That's right. So in the meantime, he gets on television and he's talking about, I have no respect for this woman because she was a porn star.
Yes.
And then
she has
no
reputation to defend because she's,
And then someone sent me a message and said, do we remember how Melania got here?
Yes.
Trump's wife.
She was one as well.
Yes.
I got a text message that let me send you a photograph and let's see what she has on.
Oh,
let me tell you, I don't need no, lots of them. So much hypocrites. You know?
Yes. Well, what about the man who married Melania and the man who got involved with Stephanie Clifford? This is one woman who is supposed to, you know, because she's an adult film star, she has no reputation to defend, let alone the hypocrisy because he is married also to an adult film star of sorts. And this is one man who has all these different children with all these different women and at least two of the women that we know he's been involved with are adult film stars, but the adult film star is the one who has no credibility or reputation. What about this man who's just acting like a wild frat boy, being with all these different women? Nobody ever calls him out. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
You got to realize,
she's a citizen.
Look at that whole circle.
Yes.
Giuliani left his wife for another woman.
Two of his wives.
The attorney general, he owned a security firm. So he left his wife and left her with nothing, and she had to fight for what she has today.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So that whole chain is totally disrespect to the women. And you know, once a dog does something to one, he can guarantee do it to another. So women to this day that's in that camp, watch your back.
Yeah. When they're working together against.
I'm sorry, what was that, Miss Brianna?
No, I just wanted to say, and the way that they stick together, you know, the men in this situation to tear down the women, and the women are the ones who are accusing, you know, this person of bad behavior, but the woman gets demonized. And it's a horrible example to set for our country, and our kids are watching this. I'm sorry, please go ahead.
Certainly. Go ahead, Mr. Davis.
I want you to be mindful that before Trump had won the presidential, he was accused of groping women. On the bus.
17?
He said it out of his own self-mouth, right?
Exactly. So
right.
It seemed like they do think that they're above the law.
They think they're above the law.
Because if it was anyone else, whether it was 10, 15, 20, 30 years, they'll be bringing allegations against them, and they will be prosecuting them.
Okay.
But he hasn't been prosecuted as yet.
Good. Well, let's move this same subject on over to President Clinton. And the reason being is because we know that President Clinton came out with his book. He co-authored a book this week, and so he came out with the book, and they said that President Clinton brought us Trump. And so if I remember, this thing's been going on for a long time since the back in the Bible days, right?
Exactly.
So, but it was interesting for them to say that President Clinton, because of what happened, and then they were talking to him about the Me Too movement and some things that they thought that he should have said. And I want us to talk a little bit about this because I thought that the Me Too movement was when men took advantage of women without their consent.
Yes.
That's what I thought the Me Too movement was about. And if we reflect back to what happened in the 90s with President Clinton, which was disgusting, let's put that out there.
Yes.
Because anytime that a man deals with another woman and he's married to somebody, that's disgusting to me. Probably because I'm married and I have a husband, and that would be disgusting. So in the meantime, Monica Lewinsky was an intern there. She was 19. She herself said this was consensual, that she wasn't raped, that she consented. Obviously, she knew what she was doing. She kept a dress for how long?
A long while.
Put some stain on it so that she could use it later on. That sounds like a pretty mature person that has been out there in the world for a little while.
Sounds like she had a plan from the beginning.
Sounds like a plan to me. So, but with all of that being said, how do we look at this in comparison to, how do we look at Monica Lewinsky's case? And this was a very powerful man, we know. And some women, let's face it, some women go out after powerful men to get where they need to be. I'm naive to know that, to think that it does not happen, because it does. There are some dishonest women, just like there are some dishonest men. That's just the way the world turns, right? As the world turns. So comment. Let's go to the gentleman and see what your feelings are, and then we'll ask First Sergeant what his feelings are, and then we'll let Miss Rihanna talk about it. Go ahead, Mr. Darrell.
Well, first of all, I have no idea what her plan was, but she had a plan. And it didn't consist of him breaking any criminal laws. So I don't know if she wanted to belittle him in his office or what her plan was, but it wasn't criminal.
Right.
We don't know if she was sicked on him to do something like this. Or, however, it was done.
Right.
And as you said, that... when you take those marriage vows, you should honor them.
That's exactly right.
And keep them. It don't give you the right, because you're powerful or not, to misuse people, to take advantage of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have different books out now of true stories about billionaires who do things just for a sport, whether it's hunt people or see what they can do in this area and this area. And, I have no idea what her mindset was at the time. I just know that it wasn't criminal, because she maintained that it was consensual.
You're right. And it wasn't criminal. It was just immoral.
Uh-huh.
Okay. First Sergeant, any comments from you on that?
You know, I have to agree. There was a plan. And the bottom line, the plan was spoiled, because individual got caught. You know, because if it was the original plan, she wouldn't be where she is now. She is truly just been a survivor who is trying to get on with her life. The president has been very clear from day one to up to yesterday. It was a bad moment. It was a bad idea. It is what it is, and he has taken responsibility. But the Me Too has nothing to do with him. Has nothing to do with
him. Okay. All right. Ms. Rihanna, what are your comments on that?
I just have to say, Bill Clinton was impeached from office. Hillary Clinton has been raked over the coals,
yes,
including in the 2016 election over her husband's behavior.
Yes.
You know, for this whataboutism that is going on and that is described in this book about, you know, Clinton brought us Trump. That's just a little too cute for me, and I get sick and tired of hearing it every single day on the news from people who defend what 45, you know, his behavior, what he's doing currently, what he has done, and point their fingers always at the Clintons. Of course, they can't point their finger at President Obama because we all know the moral character that he and his family you know, have always displayed. So they always point their finger at Bill Clinton. I just have to say, we've already been through the 90s. Bill Clinton was impeached. Bill Clinton has apologized. Bill Clinton has apologized again. I have never heard Donald Trump say, "I'm sorry." Donald Trump doesn't own anything. He's accused of raping a 13-year-old child.
That's right.
Credibly accused of that. He won't acknowledge it. He doesn't acknowledge these women. He says they're all liars. He's never apologized. And so there's a big difference to me when people say, oh, Democrats stuck by the Clintons, and that's hypocritical because now when it's Trump, they don't like it. We went through all that together as a nation and as a party. We went through it. He got impeached. He's atoned for what he has done. His wife paid another price for several other prices for it ever since.
Right.
And right now what we're dealing with is a man who we should have learned a little something from the 90s, from the Clintons. It's not hypocritical when we look back and say we should have learned from this. It's hypocritical when you witch-hunted Bill Clinton and now you're unwilling to go after the wrongdoings of what your party is doing right now, and the guy who's at the top, you enable him. There's just a huge difference. So this whataboutism doesn't get us anywhere. If we want to move forward, you got to hold this guy accountable.
Wow.
So
that's the end right there. Yes. Thank you so much, Moy. That was just amazing. Thank you so much for being with us again, Mr.
Thank
Darrow.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. You can come anytime because you have some amazing information. You have a great story that people need to know about so that we can make sure that it doesn't happen to the next person that comes along the way. Quickly.
I'd like to ask the people that when Dr. McKellar decided to have a town hall meeting, a meeting for the people in the neighborhood, turn out.
That's it.
Turn out so you can be educated on some things, so you can be to know.
Very good.
And you can go out and vote, and you will have a voice when something like this occurs to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You've been listening to A View from the Top. If those of you that are out there listening that know who we can get in contact with for the Juneteenth, we want to find out so we can get our passes so we can get ready for that Juneteenth parade that's coming up very soon. Thank you. May God bless you. May God bless the United States of America. See you next week. Have a great weekend. Bye now.